Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
Pray with me. Father, thank you for what is happening tonight. Thank you that you are here. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is present in this room. I thank you that this is an atmosphere that will radically change lives, that generational curses will be broken off in Jesus' name. And I thank you that all your sons and daughters that are here today will not leave the same, that they will leave with a renewing of their minds. They will leave with a new heart. And I thank you, God, that any chains the enemy has on them are broken in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You may have your seat. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for Awaken sponsor, Awaken Water. I feel like the water never gets enough love when it's up here. You know, I said this at Bay Hope, but I think as an organization, you've made it when you have your own water. I think that's like the mark of like, I've made it, right? When you get to have your own, when you get to have your own water. I'm just saying, I mean, how many organizations do you see have their own water? Guys, I'm excited to be here with you guys today. I've been, prepping for this message for weeks, and it's going to be one where I speak from the heart, one where I share, and I give you guys a certain part of my life that only my wife really knows about, and, I'm going to go on full display and really share about something that I know will bring transformation. And before I do, I wanted to honor my beautiful mother. She is here with me today. That is Mama Rose. Mama Rose. She's visiting me from Cleveland, Ohio. Why we ever went to Cleveland, Ohio, I'll never understand, Mom. We're brown. We're meant for tropical weather. We're not meant for cold weather. To this day, I don't understand why we went from Honduras to Cleveland, Ohio. But anyways, she's visiting us from the cold land. I'd rather travel to snow than live in it. I lived in it for 19 years. So thank you, Mom, for everything you've done. You've loved me. My mom has always called me her golden boy from day one. And I didn't know it then, but, you know, something in my subconscious mind, I think I believe that all my life. She called me her golden boy. My two brothers never got that name. My sister never got that name. I was the only one she gave a nickname to, which was the golden boy. And which, ironically enough, now we have a son, and he legitimately is a golden boy. He has blonde hair. And where it came from, I don't know. Maybe my mom prophesied it. So thank you, Mom, for being here. I love this church, guys. This church has radically changed my life. It really has. This is truly a house of transformation. And so whether this is your first time here or this is your 100th or 1,000th time here, I'm telling you that you are always one message, one word, one connection, one relationship, one moment away from massive breakthrough. And I want to set the tone to lean in, to believe that this is your moment. This is your moment. The truth about life is the moment that we stop being students, that's when we put a ceiling over our lives. And I'm so grateful to have been in an environment for the last 9 years where I can always go to the next level. I can always grow. I can always learn from this person. And what I love so much about Awaken Church is that we share the platform. Something that I noticed back there, it said, God, thank you for choosing me. And I love that. I love that the worship team gets to see that before they go up. And I think that's special because God has chosen all of us. God has chosen all of us to be his ambassadors, to be his sons and his daughters. And so I just want to honor this church, want to honor Pastor Jürgen Lee Matesius for everything they've done to build this church. And so we're going to get into it, guys. I'm going to share with you guys a couple. I'm going to go a little bit Bible verse heavy in the beginning, the first 5 minutes. But then I'm going to go ahead and tie it into some of my testimony. So the foundation of this message is found in Revelations 12:11, which says, and they overcame him, which is the enemy, right, which is the anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. It is that voice in your head that tells you you're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. That is what the him in this verse is talking about. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And today I want to share with you the word of my testimony, the word of what God has done in my life. And we're going to also talk about what the blood can do in your life. And if you actually follow us to John 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. How amazing that we serve the God that went to the finish line. How amazing that we serve a God that he took it all and he didn't quit. And so I want to talk about what is the it. It's a pretty big, it's a two-letter word, but it's so profound. What is the it? He said, it is finished. What is the it? The it is actually a lot of things. But today, what I want to share with you, the it is the spirits of anxiety, the spirits of depression, and those spirits in our lives that sometimes tell us we're not good enough, those suicidal thoughts. And so the title of my message is, It is Finished, Overcoming Anxiety, Depression, and Suicidal Thoughts. And so I want to take us to a character in the Bible that all of us can relate to. That is found in 1 Kings 19. It's going to be 1 through 18. And so before I get into it, this is the prophet Elijah. This is one of the greatest characters in the Bible. Prior to us reading this verse, Elijah has just experienced some of the most miraculous things that any prophet has seen. He's been fed by ravens. He has seen a widow's son raised from the dead, right? He saw fire come down from heaven. He saw the 400+ false prophets being killed. He has seen miracle after miracle and after miracle. But let's see how he handles disappointment, how he handles rejection, how he handles adversity. So follow us in 1 Kings 19:1 through 18. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I will not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Interesting how we can go to isolation when we face adversity. It's interesting how God says it's not good for man to be alone. And that was the first thing Elijah did, is he abandoned the one person that probably could have spoke some sense into him. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that night that he might die and said, "It is enough." How amazing, we don't serve a God that said it is enough. Instead, he said it is finished. But here Elijah is saying, "It is enough, God. I've had enough. Just kill me." He's having suicidal thoughts. He thinks his life is over. He says, "Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." How often do we sometimes tell ourselves we're no better? We're no better than this person, than that person. We're no better than our loved ones. Verse 5, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his side was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Again, we see him in isolation. His mindset is, "I'm alone. No one cares for me. No one's here for me. What's the point of living?" Verse 11, then he said, "God, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small, still voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Now you would think Elijah would have a different answer, but he literally repeats word by word what he said a few verses ago. And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken their covenant, torn down their altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go." How much of our challenges would be solved by us just going? By us coming to church on a Sunday, Wednesday at 6 o'clock, by us going to a connect group, by us going on a walk, by us having that cup of coffee with that friend that can speak life into you. Then the Lord said, "Go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you should anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed them." How interesting. Elijah thought he was alone, yet there were 7,000 other prophets that have not bowed down. But how often, when it comes to anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts, do we think that we are so alone? And so I want to share some statistics around mental health, because mental health is one of the greatest crises that this country, that this world faces right now. Never in the history of the world have we seen so much mental illness, but we as Christians know it's not mental illness. It is oppression from the enemy. It is the enemy wanting to take your life, rob you of your peace and your joy. So here are some stats. 1 in 5 Americans suffer from a mental illness. In 2021, someone from the U.S. died by suicide every 11 minutes. That means during the time that this whole service is going on, there will have been 5 people somewhere in the United States that will have taken their lives because they thought they were alone. They thought that no one cared for them. They said, "It is enough." Anxiety disorder are the highest reported mental illness in the U.S., with 42.5 million Americans claiming to suffer from this illness. Mental health crises account for 60 million visits to primary care and 6 million ER visits annually. 10.7% of the world suffers from some form of mental illness. Almost half of Americans, so almost half of this room, will experience an episode of mental illness in their lives. I would probably say that's more. I'd probably say this is very underreported. I know within men, especially, men sometimes are too afraid to speak up. Men are sometimes too afraid to say, "I need help. Help me." Women are better at it than men, but men, I don't know what it's about this world. We're taught, hey, don't cry. Hold it all in. It's okay. Don't show weakness. And then there are 4.5 million children in the United States diagnosed and living with anxiety. And this is the status one. Suicide particularly affects younger people. It remains one of the top 3 causes of death for those between ages 10 through 34. High school students identifying as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning attempt suicide 4 times more than heterosexual students. Now, I share that because I'm a part of those statistics. I went through many years where I struggled with anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts. And that was because growing up, I never learned how to have a healthy relationship with rejection, with disappointment, with failure. And so it was an open portal for the enemy to come in and oppress me and speak lies into my mind. Because there's always 2 voices in your head. There's always that voice that says, "You are enough." And then there's sometimes that voice that says, "You are not enough." And so as a teenager, I was actually very emotional. The first girlfriend I had, my mom will contest to this because she was a part of it. She saw me walk this out. The first girlfriend I had at 14, every little thing would set me off. Every little thing. I did not know how to handle rejection. I sought validation from her. I sought feeling love from her. And if we ever were off, I did not know how to handle rejection or whenever we fought really, really well. And so as a teenager, I struggled with anxiety and depression. So much so that it turned into suicidal thoughts. And I remember one night, very vividly, I wrote out a suicide letter. I was like Elijah, saying, "Lord, take me. It is enough." I wrote out a letter, and I was actually saying it. It was going to my mom and dad. I said, "Dear mom and dad," and in that letter, I was saying, "Hey, it's not your fault. You guys didn't do any of this. I've had enough. I don't want to live on. I don't want to live anymore." I was about maybe 15 at the time, and it's amazing how God moved even in those days when I didn't accept Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior yet. And as I'm finishing that letter, there's a knock on my door, and it's my dad. My dad says, "Hey, like, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm nothing. I'm just, you know, in my room." And he's like, "Hey, there's this book I wanted to give to you. I saw it. It was in the garage, and I wanted to give it to you. And I don't know. I just felt like giving it to you." And I'm like, "Okay." He gave it to me, and then he went away. And as I read the cover of the book, it was literally about a guy that was on the verge of committing suicide. But somebody stopped him and spoke life into him. And in that moment, I was blown away. I felt seen. I felt like there was a higher power. Growing up, I believed in a higher power. I just didn't call it Jesus Christ at the time. I was more agnostic, and I was like, "What is going on here?" And in that moment, that changed the outcome of that night, because that night I was preparing to kill myself. Time went on, and I didn't still know how to deal with my rejection, with what was going on in my life. Yeah, really quick, is that my time up there on the upper right? AT, okay, cool, making sure I'm on time. There we go, all right. So, there it is, nice and big. Thank you. It was like very small. I was like, "Is that the time?" Thank you. Okay. I didn't know how to deal with it to the point where I started cutting myself. I remember one night feeling so depressed, so oppressed. And I felt so different. That was the word that went through my mind, different. So I took a knife and I began cutting the word D. I, F, F. And then I realized I was running out of space. True story, you can laugh, I give you permission. I realized I was running out of space, and also it was very painful. Blood was coming out. I wrote the word D-I-F-F, and I stopped there. And I was like, and I looked at it, and I branded myself different. And by the time it actually healed, if you guys look at my skin, I have vitiligo, it actually, the scar turned white. So I literally had the word D-I-F engraved on my skin for about 2 years. I hid it for the first few months when it was really visible. I wore long sleeves because I was so ashamed of what I had done that I had cut myself. But that is how I felt. I felt different. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like a reject. I felt like I was a nobody. I felt like I had enough, like Elijah. He said, "It's enough. It is enough. I had enough." Time went on, and, you know, things just got worse. And one night, I was like, "That's it. It's enough. I'm ending my life." I went in our medicine cabinet, and I found all the pills that were in there. And I took 30 to 40 pills that night, expecting to overdose, expecting to not wake up. Of course, spoiler alert, I woke up. And I had massive stomach pains. My body was just rejecting it. I threw up. I was in the bathroom for 2 hours just recovering at like 3 a.m. But nonetheless, I had attempted to take my life. I just failed. And I wonder how many of us sometimes feel alone, sometimes feel like Elijah, sometimes feel like me, to where depression, anxiety, the worries of this world get to us. And it wasn't until really I was 19 when I decided to go to the Marine Corps, right? When I felt like I needed to go somewhere, I felt like I needed a shift in my life. And that was the first time at 19 where I started feeling purpose. I started knowing what my calling was. I started working towards a goal that brought me peace and joy and love. And I'm grateful for those 4 years in my life, because those 4 years gave me the direction that I needed. And I wish I could say, guys, that it ended there. But even in my early 20s, I dealt with suicidal thoughts. I would fantasize constantly about killing myself. I would fantasize constantly about being in my own wedding and seeing it from a bird's eye view and kind of seeing people be like, "Oh, I wish I would have been nicer to him. I wish I would have done this." And it was like sick and twisted how I got joy out of that. But I didn't know at the time, I was still in my early 20s, I hadn't accepted Christ, that it was all oppression. I would actually hear screams in the middle of the night. I would wake up constantly as a teenager in my early 20s to screams. It was always at 3 in the morning. Interesting how it was 3 in the morning. And so I would hear screams, and for years, it tormented me. I felt like Elijah. But God is so beautiful. God was there for Elijah, and I know he was there for me, and he's there for you. And so my first point to the message is rest is a gift from God. If we go back to, 1 Kings 19, you see that Elijah got shade, quietness, rest, food, and drink. The Lord ministered to him and gave him something as simple as food and water, and he rested. How simple sometimes just rest is. And I want you to know rest is a gift from God. Rest is actually a spiritual weapon. And when it comes to fighting the demonic, when it comes to fighting depression and all, we have to recognize it's a spiritual thing. And you can't medicate a demon. You have to fight spiritual things with spiritual weapons, right? Because we have to remember that the word says that no weapon shall prosper against you. Now, it doesn't say that weapons won't come at you. It just means they won't prosper against you. If we go to Revelations 14:11, it says, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. In hell, there is no rest, which then means that rest is a gift from God. It is a gift, something that we take as common. We take something as sleeping, as a nap, as so common. But I've discovered that when I feel anxious, when I feel like, man, the world's coming against me, something as simple as resting can be the cure to how I'm feeling. I think more of us need to spend time in nature. How much better would this world be if doctors prescribed, hey, go out in the wilderness, go listen to the birds, go count the butterflies. How much better would it be if we spend times around nature? Over the years, I have discovered God in the nature. I would, as a teenager, I even went out to this place called the Metro Parks, and I would spend time there. When I first went out here, there's this golf course right by Tier Santa. I would drive. It's like at the very end of Balboa Avenue. If you just go left, I would drive to get to the golf course, and I would spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes in the wind. I would just hear that small, still voice. I would feel his presence. And it brought me relief. It brought me joy. And whatever I was going through all of a sudden went away. Psalms 23, 1 through 4 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It is a promise by God that it doesn't mean we won't have challenges. It doesn't mean we won't have oppression. But if we learn to lean in that small, still voice, we'll find joy. Point number two is God is powerful and personal. If we go back to verse 1 Kings 19 and 9, God asked Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? And at first, you would think it's a question he's asking of where are you physically. But I believe God was asking Elijah, where are you spiritually? And so when he asks him, where are you? He gives him an answer, right? He's like, well, I'm alone. I'm the only one here. And then God showed his power in the earthquake, in the elements, in the fire, in the wind. He showed his power. But it's interesting, the Bible says he was not there. He was in the small, still voice, the whisper. The only way you can hear a whisper is that they're right next to you. You can't hear a whisper from far away. And I think God was trying to give Elijah perspective in that moment. That yes, I'm powerful. Yes, I can do all these things. But I'm also personal. I'm also right here. I'm so close to you that I can whisper in your ear. And so we have to know that God is both powerful and he is personal. Because once I accepted Christ into my heart in August of 2015, that's when I started to hear that small, still voice. And I leaned in every single time. And sometimes in this world where it's always so busy, there's so much noise, we sometimes need to slow down. If we want to overcome anxiety and those thoughts in our heads that tell us we're not good enough, we sometimes need to slow down and just hear that small, still voice. My wife inspires me every day. She's great at that. Every morning, 5 in the morning, 6 a.m., maybe at the latest, she's up seeking that small, still voice. And the third point here is go. If we go back to 1 Kings 19:15, then the Lord said to him, go. Two letters, but so powerful, go. You know, there's a saying that I say, motion creates emotion. And it's so true. When you get moving, when you just go somewhere, the devil will love nothing more than to keep you idle, to keep you paralyzed, to keep you in that cell in your mind that says you're not good enough. But God is telling you, he's telling me to go out and make disciples of all nations, to go out and walk into the purpose and the assignment that he has for you. Because when you get discouraged, and we will get discouraged from time to time, we will get discouraged. But when we get discouraged, there's going to be two things you're tempted to do. You're going to magnify the bad and then minimize the good. And understand this, fear and faith can't exist at the same time. Scarcity and poverty can't exist at the same time. So we have to make the choice. Will we magnify the bad in our lives or will we magnify the good? I remember when I joined the Marine Corps, I got this new passion for fitness, right? When you're in the Marine Corps, you pretty much have to work out. You know, you have to, right? It's just the culture. And I remember that going every single time when I didn't feel like it. But after every single session, man, I felt so great. And sometimes I didn't want to go. But I know that God has wired us in such a way that when we just go and we fulfill our purpose, God gave Elijah a purpose. Because when he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He wasn't asking him, like, figuratively or physically, where are you? He was saying, where are you at spiritually? Elijah had lost sight of his purpose. And then God gave him a new purpose. God didn't even address his comment about, I'm alone, or this person's trying to kill me. He just said, go and do this. He gave him a new purpose. But then he also gave him reassurance that you're not alone, that I'm with you, but also I have sent people, 7,000 people. And I know that as we're all in this room, we're all in this journey together. That's why things like connect groups are so amazing. That's why things like staying after and making a new friend or coming early, like these small things we talk about, that's why they're so important. Because we need community. And so as I close out today, I want to remind everybody what their very first verse, when Jesus hung on the cross, it is finished. What is that it? That it is many things, but today we're focusing on the anxiety, the depression, the suicidal thoughts. For years, I battled suicidal thoughts. For years, I battled anxiety and depression because, again, I did not know how to have a healthy relationship with rejection, with disappointment. And if we go to Matthew 15, 7 through 20, we see one of the 7 times that Jesus bled. This is a whole different message. Look into it. It's actually really amazing. But Jesus bled 7 different ways, 7 different times. And each time was to break a curse over our lives. And so I want to talk about one of the 7. In Mark 15, 17, it says, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. When Jesus bled from the head, he was restoring our mental sanity. He was restoring those voices in our heads that tell us we're not enough. And so when he said, it is finished, he was saying anxiety, depression, suicide, you are finished. You are done. You have no power over my children. Because listen, I tried to cut myself and that gave me nothing. I tried my own blood. My own blood gave me no joy. My own blood gave me no purpose. But the blood of Christ, because he bled, because he was willing to go through what he went through, that was the solution to what I was looking for. And so when Jesus bled through the crown of thorns, I want to remind you that he was doing it. So when he said it is finished, he was overcoming the suicide anxiety and depression that this world is massively facing right now. And something I love about the Old Testament is that the Old Testament is full of people who battled these very same things. Maybe they didn't call it that at that time. They didn't call it that. That word probably didn't exist yet in their times. But I'm sure I would venture to say that they had those thoughts of insecurity. They had those thoughts of I'm not good enough. They had those thoughts where, man, they thought the world was against them. And I want to remind you that if a flood couldn't stop Noah, if a prison couldn't stop Joshua, if the Red Sea couldn't stop Moses, if a city wall couldn't stop Joshua, if a 9-foot giant couldn't stop David, and if suicidal thoughts couldn't stop me, but more importantly, if death itself couldn't stop Jesus, then nothing can separate you from the loving and the saving power of God. John 10:10 says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have came to give you life and life more abundantly. The devil wants to give you a knife, but God wants to give you life. The devil tried to give me a knife. He gave me a knife and he said, take it. Take your own life. But God came to give me life. There's a reason why in the Bible it says, do not be afraid 365 times. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not worry. 365 is on there because he knows you need it on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. You need it in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, December. You need it this year, next year, year after that, year after that, year after that. There's a reason why it says do not be afraid. It doesn't mean that you won't experience it, but he just says don't be afraid. I'm with you. Lean into that small, still voice. Because Jesus wants to give you a new life. He gave me a new life. And I want to end on this. In Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy, or all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Remember, rest is a spiritual gift. It is a gift from God. In God's presence, we have rest. I was restless for many nights. I had sleep paralysis. I could hear screams for many years. And at the time, I didn't know I was being tormented. But because of Jesus, he came and he set me free. And he gave me that rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. I don't know about you guys, but I need that rest in my soul. I need that. I need to know that in him there is salvation. In him there is joy. In him there is rest. So what I want us to do is I want us all to bow our heads and close your eyes. And right now you're one of two people, and I'm gonna talk to one of two people. One is you've never accepted Christ in your life, but yet you feel those torments, you feel those thoughts. There's probably one of you in here that is contemplating suicide at this very moment, or you walked in here contemplating suicide, or you've thought about it this week, and you don't know that the answer lies in our Lord and our Savior, that when he said it is finished, he meant it. And so if you're those person here in a second, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to accept Jesus. The second person that I want to speak to is you're currently battling that right now, or you have. You hear those voices in your head. You're telling yourself like Elijah, it is enough. I've had enough. I can't do it, God. I can't go on. This is too hard. I can't burden this anymore. And I want to remind you that God is speaking to you right now saying, give it all to me. Cast your cares to me. You will find rest in me. You will find rest in the world that I created, and something as simple as just listening to the wind, listening to the birds, going out there and feeling the sun on your face, resting, eating the wonderful food that God has given us. God is saying, I will give you rest. And so on the count of three, if that is you, if you're one of those two people, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to lead you into salvation. I want to lead you into freedom. Because you don't have to stay in there. You don't have to stay in those bondage. So on the count of three, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you're battling those things and you need to break those things off, in the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, and 3. Hands are going up. I see all hands going up. Right now, there's some of you, your heart is racing. Your heart is racing. You're afraid. You're afraid because you've maybe tried this before, or you're afraid to put yourself out there. I'm telling you, there is freedom in Jesus Christ. There's freedom in the blood. There's freedom in what he did on the cross. So now, if we could all stand up, and I'm going to ask you guys to do something a little bold. If we could all stand up. I have discovered that being a Christian requires a little bit of boldness. It requires a little bit of getting uncomfortable. And so if you raise your hand, regardless for what it was for, I'm going to ask you to come down here. I want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. We want to believe that you will not leave here with thoughts of suicide, with anxiety, with depression, with torment. So if that was you, if you raise your hand, come on down here. I want to meet you. I want to pray for you. Come on. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in his blood. There's this beautiful song. I don't know if we're going to play it. The enemy thought he had me. The enemy thought he had me years ago. He thought he had me. When he gave me that knife to cut myself, or those pills to take my life, he thought he had me. He said, this is it. I got one of God's children. But Jesus said that you guys are all his. That you are his sons and his daughters. So for a moment, if we could just play this song. And I want you to think, you are his. You are his.
He had me. The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said you were mine.
Come on, I want to hear you all sing.
The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said you were mine.
Not today, Satan, not today. The enemy thought he had you. I want to remind you, you are Christ. You are here for a reason. You don't have to keep living that way. He came here to give you life and life more abundantly. So in a second, I'm going to lead you guys into a prayer in church, if we can all pray with them. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And I thank you that he said, it is finished. I cancel anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts in the name of Jesus. And I renounce any agreements I have had with the enemy. And I thank you that I am your son or daughter, and that you give me life. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he rose on the third day, and that he gives me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.